as we look at evangelicalism, being a witness. That is a large word. Some of you might even go, "Evan, what? What did you just say?" It's still used a little bit today, but it's not used as much as it used to be used. Maybe you might have heard of being a light, or being a witness, or sharing Christ. However the phrase might go, the Apostle Paul here shows us a little bit of what being a witness, a light, looks like. And I think it's going to be a great encouragement to us all, because he reminds us that who is adequate for these things? Who is adequate to be the spokesperson for the Lord, to be a representative of him to others? We need his grace to do that. And we need him for this message. So let's go to him in prayer as we look at Acts 21 and 22. Father, thank you for your word. As we will see this morning, when it is shared and spoken, it always has an effect. You say in your scriptures that it does not go out void. There is always purpose to the word of God. Lord, I pray that that would be the case this morning, that as we look at the life and testimony of the Apostle Paul, how he was just being a witness, that we would be greatly encouraged, strengthened as we go out as lights, as witnesses into this world. Lord, may you use your word to convict, encourage, and change us. Humbly use my words to convey your truth. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe in God? That was the question asked. She paused. It was a life or death question. His weapon was before her face. She was 17 years old. "Yes, I believe in God." And she lost her life. Do you remember that? Columbine shooting, April 20th, 1999, just before the turn of the century. Can you believe it was that long ago? This particular story could have happened in the Roman Colosseum. It did. Many lost their lives for Christ. It could have happened in the Middle Ages, and it did. It could have happened even today in many other countries, and still is happening this morning as we worship the Lord in freedom. That people are being asked that question, "Do you believe in God?" And their life is at stake. The Apostle Paul here didn't know what would be next. We just have seen here in Acts 21 that he riles up the crowd in the temple, brings them to such ferociousness and hostility that they are in the process of beating him to death, these religious leaders. And God graciously steps in with the tribune, with the government. And he says, "Paul, your days are not over." But what does that put in our hearts and minds when we think about Columbine? When we think of the Fox's Book of Martyrs? If you've never read that, that will change the way you think about your witness and your testimony and your light. Hundreds of accounts of people giving their lives, standing for Christ in the midst of opposition. As an evangelist, even here in this country, in many ways it looks so much different. But there's still that fear. What are they going to say in return? What are they going to think? How are they going to respond? And that's what we're going to see here in three sections today. That Paul and his witness and his evangelicalism. And interestingly enough, this word for witness is where we get the word martyr. Paul's martyrdom here in the Jerusalem temple has three parts to it. It begins with asking, or he poses a question, asks to be heard. So we might ask a question, or we might say, would you please listen? There has to be an asking to be heard. This is what the Apostle Paul begins with. He then moves to his own story to tell. What is your story to tell? And he expects a response. And we will see that he certainly gets a response from the crowd around him. Let's begin in Acts 21, verse 37. As we first look at beginning with a question, beginning by asking. As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the tribune, and so this is the government coming in and literally, graciously rescuing Paul out of sudden, almost certain death from the religious leaders. So he's being brought into the barracks, and he says to the tribune, may I say something to you? And he said, do you know Greek? So this is the tribune asking Paul, do you know Greek? Are you not the Egyptian then, who recently stirred up a revolt and led the 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness? Paul replied, I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no obscure city. I beg you, permit me to speak to the people. And when he had given him permission, that is, the tribune gave him permission, Paul, standing on the steps, motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great hush, he addressed them in the Hebrew language, saying, first off, we need to notice, did you see the questions being asked? Paul begins first by asking the tribune, may I say something to you? The tribune in return asks him, aren't you not that Egyptian who led a revolt? To which Paul factually replies, no, that was not me. I am a Jew from Tarsus of Cilicia, which at that time was a prominent major city. Isn't it interesting? As I was looking through this section, Paul doesn't even have a chance to give a defense when the religious leaders come at him. They begin to beat him and persecute him. And what we saw earlier is because they assumed, it wasn't even factual, they assumed he had brought a Gentile into the temple. So here's the religious leaders. And their first inclination actually is not to ask questions, not to get the facts, but to just come at Paul, silence him, destroy him, stone him to death, in many ways just like Stephen. And here is Paul. You kind of wonder, would he have thought about this? Would he have remembered, I was in that place. I was that leader who didn't ask Stephen any questions, who didn't give him a chance to defend, who got angry at his presentation of the gospel. And I led a crowd to throw stones at this man, Stephen. And now here I am in the same scenario in the temple of Jerusalem. And the crowd wants to see my life taken. What does the government do? What does the tribune do? He asks questions. Paul asks questions. May I speak? Paul could have said, do you know who I am? Do you know my name? Do you know what I've been doing these last few years, traveling around the known world, speaking the gospel? Every church in every area knows my name. We don't see any pride, any defense. He doesn't demand of this tribune, I'm one of the apostles. No, he actually humbly approaches this man. May I say something? The government mistakes him for someone else. Aren't you that Egyptian? Another question. No, I'm not that Egyptian. Let me tell you who I am. And again, he asks them, I beg of you, permit me to speak to the people. And the tribune says, well, he's not a revolutionary. He's one of them. He's a Jew from Tarshish, a pretty prominent city in Turkey. Flourishing with wealth and status as much as Athens and Alexandria. Here's this Jew studying underneath Gamaliel, as we will find out. One of the great high priests in Jerusalem's history. And yet he asks the man, please, I beg of you, permit me to speak. There's questions from others, but there's also questions that we can ask when we're given opportunity. Can I share with you something? Can I just say something that I'm observing right now? You might ask in that kind of a question. Or someone might come to you. Why are you're different. I love when someone says, I'm different. Why? You know, hopefully they open it up to you. Tell me why. Oh, what a wonderful question. But I want to encourage all of us this morning that our witness, our faith can be shared with just the beginning, the opening that happens with a question being asked. Maybe it's of us asking someone else a question. Hey, maybe, you know what, I've had chances to say, can I pray with you? Yeah, sure. I'd really appreciate that. And there might be more conversation that comes with that. Can I tell you my life story? Well, okay, do we have 20 minutes? maybe it's them asking you a question. Paul's beginning witness here begins with him begging, can I say something to the people? Isn't it amazing, though? He is just finished getting lashes and beatings and kicked and punched. And it says the government has to carry him away from the mob because there is so much violence. And instead of him running for his life into the barracks and saying, I am so glad I'm out of there, he turns and says, I need to say something to my persecutors. That's what we read throughout all of history, is that those who have died or been persecuted for their faith have always thought about the ones persecuting. They know where they are going. The Apostle Paul knew where he would be going. He says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. His heart and concern is, let me say something to the crowd, to these persecutors. For you, was it a question that made you first ponder Christ and his good news? Did someone come to you and ask you something? Did you come to someone else with a question and that began a conversation? I know for me, it was who of you are interested in receiving Christ for eternal life when I was 8 years old. And for some reason, the Spirit of God used that very night, at Awana, of no doubt, to say, yeah, I need to talk to somebody. It began with maybe a question. God uses questions all the time. God approaches people in Scripture with questions. Adam, where are you? God knew where Adam was. But he asked him a question. Where are you, Adam? Are you going to come and confess? Or are you going to hide and be afraid? Moses, where are you? I'm here, Moses. Where? Where, Lord? I'm here. What? Oh my goodness, that bush is burning over there. The Lord approached many, asking them questions. Christ, our Savior, our example. I couldn't tell you the countless examples of him in the Gospels asking questions of people. The women at the well, where is your husband? Why are you here at the well at noon when no one comes to the well? What are you hiding? To the women at the well, he asked her questions. It opened up a long conversation about worship and about her sins. And what did she say? Do you remember in John chapter 4, that whole chapter is her story? She runs back to the town and says, come meet the man who knew everything about me. He asked me lots of questions, but he actually already knew. He knew I was married in the past. Come see this man. Sometimes the most powerful witnesses can happen just through a simple question. I know for me, if someone asks me a question and they come to me wanting to know who I am, that opens up a door, a relationship beginning. Hey, this person wants to know who I am. I might ask them a question. I want to know who you are. The power of a question to make a relationship flourish. I know I'm learning with my wife, Sarah. I have to ask her a question. Make sure I clarify what I might be assuming wrongly. Did you mean this by what you said? You could ask Sarah, I don't do that enough or well enough. Questions that clarify the situation. This tribune said, aren't you that revolutionary? We should put you to death. No. The beginning of being a witness may just start with a question. Maybe think through, what would that question be that I could ask? The clerk, the gas station, pump filler, the grocery store attendant, the grocery cart attendant, the Costco person who has to stand at the entrance and say hello to every single person who comes through those doors. How's your day going? It could be any kind of question that may open up a door of witness. So Paul asks a question, please permit me to speak. And the tribune says, yes. And what does Paul do? He tells the crowd his story. Let's look at 22 verses 1, and we'll go through verses 21. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, brought up in Jerusalem, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From then I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. What's Paul saying? I was one of you. I'm speaking your language. I'm calling you brothers and fathers. I was one of you. You can almost hear that pain in his voice, probably knowing I was that crowd, that violent crowd. I dragged Christians from their churches and put them in prison. That was me. Isn't that all our story? Isn't that great to know? When we tell our story, we can start by saying, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm on the same sideline. I'm not better, greater, more privileged, more educated. I don't have a pedigree to share with you. That's why Jesus saved me. No. What we have to say actually is, I'm just a sinner, just like all of us are sinners. And I'm a sinner saved by grace. And we can maybe do what Paul did here, share a little bit of what was our past, who we were, what we have done. But look at verse 6. Paul goes from what he was to how Jesus met him drastically. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? You see how when Jesus came and showed up, Paul, the leader, the angry one, going to Damascus to find Christians, he is completely humbled and broken. What do I do? What do I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, verse 10, Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who live there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, that is Jesus, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance, and I saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by, and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul just shares his story. This is who I was. This is how I met Jesus. This is what Jesus did when he came to me. And this is the mission. This is the calling that he has given me. He told me, get out of Jerusalem quickly. They will not receive your message. This was when he was first saved. Leave Jerusalem, go, for I'm going to make you a messenger of the good news to Gentiles. Interestingly enough, Paul does all of his trips. We've seen that in Acts. He's back now with his people. Maybe his prayer has been, Lord, I pray you've changed them. I pray they will listen to me. I pray they will not see me as that previous murderer. They will see me as a giver of the gospel. And yet here they are again, wanting to beat him, crying out, Away with him. We want nothing to do with him. Isn't it amazing that they didn't even let him finish his story? As I was reading and studying in this ending, "Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles." And what happened to Paul? Up to this word, it says, they listened to him and no further. At the mention of his ministry to the Gentiles, he could tell his story no longer. We usually have the privilege and liberty to be able to share all of our story with someone. We're not coming under persecution here in America. But if you read through the stories of martyrs, if you read through Voice of the Martyrs even today, you will see many that do not get to share their whole story. They may only get to say a few words, and then their life is ended. So for you, did God use someone else's story for your own life? Did someone share how they came to Christ and that completely changed who you were? Impacted you for eternity? I remember my own dad. He was flying on a flight from Maryland up to the East Coast for a show that he was doing many years ago. Married to my mom, and yet he was looking and asking questions. And he sat next to a Christian on the plane who was one of those who they got in a conversation, shared about his faith in Jesus Christ. And my dad has told me that he could never get that conversation out of his mind. And then someone else over here, when in his travels, bumped into him. "Hey, I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? Let me tell you about my faith." And then he ran into another person. Do you have any interest in God and Christ? And my dad was just saying, oh, how God was just bringing different individuals. And he would not let me go without hearing over and over again this good news of Jesus Christ. We all have a story to tell. And we might be the person who begins by planting a seed. We might be the person who helps that seed get watered. We might be able to even see that seed watered come to fruition. There might be someone ready and looking for a Savior and not finding it in anything else. And we have a story to tell. This story is not one of them, but as I was reading through many of the martyr stories, many of the persecutors, when they saw the faith of the one being put to death, they were converted. The workers in prison, the ones giving out the beatings. And many stories say that after their conversion, they too ended up giving of their life for Christ. They were willing to tell their story when asked. I love to say it's not your story, it's his story. Every one of us has a story to tell, and it is all wrapped under his story. And his story, if you have trusted in Christ, includes your story. And he is using your story to maybe bring other people's lives and their stories to connect with you and to say, I need some answers. Will you help me? And maybe you could say, you know what? I was asking those same questions 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I was looking for answers too. Let me tell you about what has changed in my life. Let me tell you my story. That's what Paul did here. Let me tell you what I was, how Jesus changed me and met me on the road to Damascus, and what he told me to do. Go and be a witness through all the world. The leaders and many in the temple didn't want to hear that Paul was going to minister to the whole world, to Gentiles. Look at verse 22 through 29. Paul most likely expected a response, and he certainly got a response. But look at the difference of these two responses to Paul telling his story. Verse 22. Up to this word, they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live." And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks, remember the story of Stephen? The same things. Probably throwing their cloaks to get ready to do some more punishment, and flinging dust in their air into the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging to find out why they were shouting against him like this. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said to him, "What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen." So the tribune came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" Again, more questions. And he said, "Yes." The tribune answered, "I bought this citizenship for a large sum." Paul said, "But I am a citizen by birth." So those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately. And the tribune also was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him. To me, I see two responses. Those who reject, who want to bring violence, who want to slander us, ruin our reputation, disassociate themselves with us. Maybe some of that has happened with you because of your faith. But there's also this picture of grace and protection and due process through the tribune here. He brings him into the barracks, escaping this crowd's desire to put him to death. That's what it meant when they said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live." Away with him. That was the same phrase they used of our Savior Jesus Christ. Away with him. But the tribune steps in, God's gracious hand on the Apostle Paul, brings him in to be flogged. And here the Apostle Paul says, "Do you know who I am?" He finally says, "I've had plenty of beatings and floggings. I need to let them know that I'm a Roman citizen, that what they are doing is unjust, is breaking the law." He knew when he should say what he should say. And at the end there, they all stood back afraid. "What have we done? We have brought this Roman citizen in here. We've condemned him with false charges. We haven't sought due process." There is always a response when we ask questions, when we tell our story. But we will see that even through this due process, Paul gets more opportunities and more opportunities to tell of his story again and again. The greatest response is like this tribune, actually. As he said, the next day he wanted to hear more. And isn't that a response that we want to hear? "I would like to talk to you more about what you're saying. I have more questions about what you're talking about." Or even a response, "I need that Savior right now. I need Jesus. I need an answer. I need hope in this life." It doesn't always come like that. For me, when I've been speaking to people, it's typically, "I want to talk to you more about this. I have more questions for you. Let's talk again." We would pray that that would be the response when we get to share our story with others. But at times there's rejection, there's disassociation, there might even be some form of persecution. For many in this world, even today, there is lots of persecution. So, being a witness. How? I think Paul shows us a little bit through what he did. Ask questions. Answer other people's questions. Tell your story. We all have a story to tell. This is what I was. This is how Jesus met me. This is how I met him. And this is what he has called me to be and do. And we'll leave the response to the Lord and what he has. We'll ask him to do amazing things and things that only he can do. Let's pray. Father, we have a story to tell to the nations. Just like the Apostle Paul, we can share that we have been rescued. Lord, maybe this morning all we need to be reminded of is of our own story, of what Christ has done on our behalf. To remember who we were and the road we were going down. And to wonder what could have been Paul Parker's life without the grace of God, without his rescuing of me. Where would that have ended? Oh God, I thank you that you stepped in, that you used your Spirit to change my life. Lord, help us to go out with that story, the story of the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came to earth a perfect man, lived among us and understands everything that we go through. He went through it as well. And he was willing to be rejected and have his back turned from his own father and to hang on that cross for our sins and to undergo the greatest punishment of all because he loved us. And Lord, if we could even share our story and mix that story in with our story that Christ showed us such great love, we don't know the kind of response we might get from someone listening in. Oh Lord, we have a story to tell. I pray this week that you would give us opportunities to tell it. Maybe even something short to remind others that we are alive only by the grace of God. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your favor that you've shined on us. And Lord, if there is someone in this room right now this morning who has not turned to that hope and that joy and that peace that comes when we trust in Jesus Christ, when we give him all of our sin and lay our sins upon him and realize that he took our sin on the cross, I pray if there's anyone who has not done that this morning, they would call out to you in prayer. You are listening, Father. Oh, and you love for sinners to turn, to repent of sin and come to you as their Father, as their Savior. I pray that that might even be answered this morning, Lord, in how you work. In Jesus' name, amen.